5. And I'll go ahead with attendance. James Dolan is absent. Julius Collins is absent. Dave Donaldson, present. Mary Warlow, present. And myself. So I welcome everyone to our appropriation meeting. And it's good to see everybody back again this year. This is my first meeting that I'm chairing, although I've clerked many and attended even many more. So bear with me. So we could get started. We will go to the motion to approve the minutes from the August 12th meeting. I don't know.
Second.
We might not have quorum. I can't vote on those. I wasn't here.
Yeah, you can vote on.
Oh, I can.
All you're voting is they indicate that, as far as you know, they're all right. But you know, you can vote
okay.
on even if you're not here. Wasn't there.
Okay. So, do we have a motion to accept the minutes from the August 12th meeting?
So moved.
Mary, you want to second it?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
And we have an update for SUNY Ulster. Do you want to give the update?
Absolutely. So Jamie Capuano, Vice President for Administrative Services here at SUNY Ulster. So we're off to a great start. We started a couple weeks ago. So far it's been very busy. Our enrollment's looking good. We're still tracking for about a 2%, potentially 3% reduction in enrollment over the course of the year. But we're holding steady budget. We budgeted conservatively, and that's the reason you budget conservatively. Looking at your enrollment numbers to make sure that they're coming in on par. So we have some really great opportunities this year. The students are really engaged, which is a really great thing to see. We've actually had traffic jams out front, which is really nice. So it's been a really great start to the new year. We have a lot of capital projects happening right now. We have the Vanderlyn Pedestrian Bridge, which is set to, it's curing right now. So it's set to be installed at the end of the month, and then early October we'll have that open. Our classroom renovations were complete before opening day, so thank you very much for that. Very exciting. The students were really excited to see the new spaces and to really get to know kind of their new areas around campus.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Does anyone have any questions or concerns? Well, thank you, Jody.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, moving right along. We're going to move on to our appropriation requests and Cornell Cooperative Extension of Ulster County. We welcome Jared Buono, Executive Director.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. I'll keep this brief. I believe I sent you the budget request, which is quite detailed for all the programs that we have upcoming. Some of the highlights, I did ask for a 2% increase just for a cost of living change. I believe we've been level funded for some time. So humbly request that. Also requested for a part-time educator to increase our environment and watershed work across natural resources, maybe a little bit of agriculture as well. What we're seeing right now, of course, there's Ulster County is a leader in environment, has been for a long time on sustainable energy, plastic bag, ban, and these things are the county is leading. We feel like we have the resources and we're pretty close to being a leader on water management. Climate resiliency is almost there. We're pretty close. We have a great Department of Environment, a lot of good organizations. One of the things that I've been trying to take advantage of is our Ashokan Watershed Tree Management Program. So this is we're the implementing partner on New York City's Ashokan Watershed Project. We partner with the Department of Environment and so on and conservation. I want to pass out our brochures for Ashokan Watershed Month. This is the outreach and education. These are all the things that are happening just in the month of September. It's what I think is the premier stream management program, certainly in New York State, if not on the East Coast. However, not all watersheds can be as well funded as those sponsored by New York City. So how do we get this program to be lighter and leaner? And I've proposed a part-time educator who's got a background in watershed to take this forward. We have a lot of opportunities upcoming in different municipalities looking into climate resilience and water work. The Hudson River Estuary Program would like to increase its spending in Ulster County through our association. I just need some help to get that capacity built up, and then I can leverage it with all the other grants that we bring. We usually leverage every dollar you give us by about 11 with additional grants and contracts. And happy to report on some of our other programs. 4-H was just awarded a 5-year multi-million dollar project to do after school programming in Kingston. hours a week. Super exciting. We're still looking for 4-H volunteer club leaders, if anybody's interested. Shameless plug. We have a fall festival in October at the fairgrounds, if you want to go. The ag program is still doing a lot of work on variety trials and grains, spotted lantern flying invasive species, protection work, outreach and education. And then we are planning an orientation event for law enforcement for hemp with sheriff's office, which is important because a lot of people are moving to hemp and it looks like marijuana in the field. Healthy Communities Program, the Relatives as Parents program, continues to grow. We're getting new enrollments often for that program. And we're trying something new this year with nutrition. We're going to be doing online one-on-one classes through Facebook Live or Skype for people. Low-income residents can take online cooking and nutrition and budgeting classes with our nutrition educators. And the environment work, we're starting our new 5-year contract with New York State DEP in the watershed to expand the stream management program. Much more outreach and education, however, it's all focused on the watershed. So it can't go outside of that watershed picture you have outside of the Shokan watershed, which is really why I want to expand those programs and bring, like, we have a stream table at the in the Shokan. We bring it to education events at schools, and it's a little mini watershed on the trail. However, we can't bring it outside of the watershed because it's New York City's flooded. I want to do that for the rest of the county. So I'll find grant resources to back it up, but like your help to help me climb the bar. Hmm.
Dave, any thoughts, concerns?
No, you requested this last year.
Yes.
And we were actually considering it at that point, but it got more or less nixed by the county executive.
But was that wasn't for a watershed educator last year, though? Was it for a watershed
educator? Yeah, it was basically the same program, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because when you're extending what they do for New York City,
yeah, they can't do
to
that under those
other
monies.
Streams. That was the mindset, and we were actually going to fund it. But then he pulled it out of protection for the rest of his programs because it was more or less,
politics.
It was politics involved. He was threatened.
Mm. Mary, any concerns?
You
have any questions there?
No.
No? Well, I'm really happy to see that all of the other programs are going along very well and finding it beneficial to our communities. I don't really have any other questions or concerns. I love the idea of an educator. I think protecting our waterways is very important, and education for that is as well. So with that being said, you're very welcome. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
Okay. Library Association, Margie Menard.
Yeah, thanks for having us here. Just a quick introduction. I'm Margie Menard. I'm the director of the Kingston Library and the president of the Ulster County Library Association. And thank you again, year after year, for your support of libraries. I was just talking to Heidi last week about them. And, I know that you guys support us when you can. I think you got ahead of time, maybe a couple of weeks ago, our request for 2020. The funding that we receive in common for the 21 libraries funds what we call our info portal, and it's a suite of online digital resources that can be accessed by anyone equally with their library card from Pinecone to Kingston. And it creates sort of a level playing field as far as e-resources. So if a patron wants an e-book or an e-audiobook, or if they want to access digital magazines, or watch some of the streaming video sources that we've added to it. It doesn't matter if it's a tiny library or a larger library, this funding that we have in common, all of it goes to these e-resources so that everybody can have access to that. And that's the kind of thing that it doesn't matter what your home library is, everyone's using it. Now, each of the 21 libraries is unique, serving their individual communities. And what this funding does is it allows us to provide those equal resources so we can then use our local funding for the really unique things like fishing kits for Phoenician patrons and you know, some of the other things that really make our individual 21 libraries unique and special and serving our communities in that way. This year we're asking for a little bit more because our streaming resources, our videos have taken off. We provide access to Canopy and IndieFlix and RV Digital, which is another type of streaming video. And it's classes, it's documentaries, it's learning videos, it's educational and just recreational videos. And those have just really hit a sweet spot with our patrons, and people love them. This is Stuart Auchincloss, and Stuart is a Mid-Hudson Library trustee and a former Woodstock trustee. And Stuart, you and I were just talking about this earlier. Did you want to mention your experience with that?
Well, I would like to.
Sure.
I live in Woodstock, and I was laid up for about a month this spring with my leg in a cast. And so I got deeply exploring the digital resources from the Woodstock Library, which, as far as I knew, was going through the Woodstock Library portal. I now know that it also goes through the county portal. But I must have read 10 or so ebooks. And I'll tell you, I'm 80 years old, and let me tell you why I like ebooks. I can adjust the size of the print, and I can adjust how bright the screen is. And I'll tell you, that's become a real plus for me. I prefer ebooks to the paper books on my shelf that I got when I was younger. So that was huge. And the movies. I hadn't tried Canopy before this spring, but I enjoyed several movies sitting there with my leg healing. So I want to say that these digital resources are really important for people like me. And I expect plenty of other people too, but that was my experience.
That's great.
There's a couple of other things with these digital resources. Canopy comes with the rights to show the films, and I at Kingston, and I know some of the other libraries, have worked with our community partners to program around them. We had a Pride event at Kingston Library in June where we showed a movie, and in collaboration with the LGBTQ Center, they came and we were able to do this without paying an extra fee to show this film, because the Canopy comes with performance rights, so we were able to do that right in the library. Carol, anything from you?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we have Ancestry Library there, which is generally used to look up your generation past. But I had a patron in the other day who needed to get a death certificate from her mother. So we ended up going into Ancestry, and then we could locate her and locate her actual death date and the state where she died. So we were able to then go out to Florida and apply for that death certificate, which she needed in order to get some paperwork done, some financial paperwork. So a lot of this stuff is of interest to people researching that, but it's got a lot of current uses as well. I had another library patron who went in for back surgery, and she said the access to e-audiobooks saved her life because she couldn't read, but to be able to stream those audiobooks and get the next one without going into the library or sending her husband into the library just saved her sanity.
And this collection is a collection of books, of archives, you know, all of those archival materials in Ancestry. We don't have the space to provide that in our buildings. We just don't. We have these wonderful buildings throughout the county, but this provides sort of 24/7 access to resources that are in the cloud, and makes it very easy for our patrons to access things at their convenience. You know, we're reaching our patrons where they are when they need it, and in a way that we never could physically. Back in the day, this patron would have had to get on the phone or write letters to Florida or whatever. This just makes it so much easier. And as we're buying these as 21 libraries, and in fact part of the Mid-Hudson Library System, there's economies of scale. So the money that we're spending is actually going much, much further as a county system and as the Mid-Hudson Library System than it would individually. I could never, even with this amount of money at Kingston Library, buy all of these resources ourselves.
Can I mention one other thing about the electronic books? It's not like the paper books. When libraries would get a paper book, they would have it available forever, and it could be used as many times as possible. The e-book publishers limit the number of times it can be circulated in the library, and then you have to buy it again, or they put on other kinds of limitations. Margie can probably tell you in more clear detail, but it's a lot more expensive to get an e-book and to maintain an e-book in the library's collection than it is to maintain a paper book. And yet, I told you why I think they're really important.
They are a little bit more expensive, and I'm very thankful for the library. I have two kids living in Rosendale. My name is Casey Conlon. I'm the library sustainability coordinator at the Mid-Hudson Library System. And my eight-year-old is just, I got her diary from a kid a couple years ago, and since then she's just like crushing books. And there's no way I can keep up with it unless we have these e-book resources and the stuff that we have in the catalog. The catalog, combined with this stuff, everybody who has a Mid-Hudson Library System catalog has access to over 3 million items now. And so that's an economy, that's sharing. You can't get 3 million in there, right?
No.
And it's important that she doesn't, too, because there's other things that libraries do. For me and my children, one is 8 and one is 4. And in 2019, it's really hard to find time and space to like do things with your family. It's incredibly sad, but like going to the library is something we can do. And this weekend, my kid was begging me, I didn't take her, I feel bad, but he was begging me to take her to the library with the boat. And that's Margie's library, and she wants to go there so bad and play on the boat, you know? And we get to go, and we get to do, like, mythology story time, and what's going on. And so that's really important to us, and that's something that libraries can do. And that speaks to, you know, you free up their budget by helping with these resources, then they can go do more of that other stuff that I can't get through a tablet or on my phone.
And the last thing I want to mention, since it's back to school time, I gave you each a brochure for Universal Class, and this is over 500 online classes that people can access anytime at their convenience with actual instructors to learn anything from educational to employment to recreational classes. You can do office skills or Italian cooking. And we had a really great outcome. As soon as we started offering this, we heard from a woman who's a local exercise instructor and nutritionist, and she has to take CE credits every year to keep her business going. And to remain licensed by whichever organization oversees her work. And she was actually able to take some of these classes for free and get her CE credits that she would have had to pay hundreds of dollars for and actually maintain her license because of the free resources she has through her public library. So it's sort of, you know, literacy and business support and all of these great things. And so thank you for listening to us and considering our request this year.
I noticed you have the great courses on here.
Yep.
You know, what courses do they are you offering through there? You know,
the great courses are really varied. They're anything from the humanities, like philosophy and literature. I know there's one on wine tasting. They're really
cooking.
Varied.
Yeah, I've seen cooking. I've also seen history of Western civilization.
Oh, they have
philosophy.
Yeah, the Italian one.
Yeah, a lot of the humanities courses.
I admit, I probably own about 15 of these great courses that I bought over time, listened to them in the car or things like that.
And you know they aren't cheap.
No, they're not. You know, because I've done the Western Civilization one. In fact, the Modern Western Civilization, I guess, is the one that I enjoyed. In fact, I've listened to it 3 times, I think.
They're very high quality.
Yeah, the professor in that is excellent, but and I've actually used in classes. You know, I retired 5 years ago from teaching, but I used to use like little bits because of the way he actually presented things on certain issues. But I mean, I know the courses are all very good.
Yeah, and they are.
Available. So you're able to. So when they, you're allowed to have them for how much time? Like a, you stream them, I'm assuming.
You stream them. You download them to your device and listen to them. And honestly, I don't know that there's a.
So you have the ability to you can choose. It's a multiple choice. But for example, you could choose to do great courses for 2 weeks every month, as many times as you wanted during those 2 weeks. So you could conceivably get through an entire course. And what we've been kind of telling patrons on the side is if you have another member of your household with a library card, just switch over to their library card and you have access for a full month. So you could conceivably have it all month long.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. So the next on the agenda is Artsmith Hudson. Heidi stepped up. Probably. To start, yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
Temporary space because they're a little bit behind on construction, but we're thrilled that we now have a place where you can come and meet with us. And that's been very helpful. We've already had some meetings in there, and it's been terrific. The other thing that we have seen is that a lot of the little seeds that have been planted over the years with us being here more and, you know, working through all Elster County more, we can point to things like Art Walk Kingston, which is going into its fourth year. If you drive down Albany Avenue, you'll see a big banner across the street, and this year, as in the last 2 years, it's the largest open studio event in the Hudson Valley. So it's happening in 2 weeks. It'll have 143 artists showing their work. And it's art. It's not just artists who create paintings, but it's artists that make installations, artists that are fine furniture makers, performers, musicians. There's a lot of artists that live in Elster County. So we're very proud of that work. And I'd like to have Lily to talk about the direct one-to-one work that we do.
Mm-hmm. So for all of our funding programs, we administer three annually. Decentralization program, which is for Dutchess County and Elster County, we've seen the most excitement for that program in Elster County. We got the most applications from Ulster County last year, and I'm expecting it to be the same this year. And then this program, the Ulster County Cultural Services Promotion Fund, that, as in all of our other programs, we hold free information sessions, and we hold free technical assistance meetings.
So anybody who's interested in the funding can work one-on-one with me. We'll go in-depth on all the eligibility and requirements, ways to strengthen their proposals. And really, it's kind of a service in grant writing. It's beyond putting together that project or that capacity building proposal for that year. It's learning the skills needed to apply to our grant program so they can take that and leverage that to larger grant and funding programs. And we've seen that happen time after time with this funding program in particular. We see applicants come to us, put together a really strong proposal with us, get free help writing their proposal, put together their budget, getting their work samples together. They get that from us, they make it the grant, and then they can take that plan forward and apply to any other funder they would like. We also offer professional development workshops every year in our office, and any grantee can take those for free. So there are a number that are offered throughout the year, submitting calls for work, submitting your art for calls, grant writing workshops, budgeting workshops. We also get some other funding organizations come to our office and give those presentations on their funding programs. There's a lot of different opportunities that our grantees can take advantage of. So this program has really, it's different than our other program that I mentioned earlier, because that program is really project support. This is capacity building, mainly focused on capacity building, and we've seen great investment. Maybe it's hiring a new person, or it's investing in a new marketing campaign, and they're able to take that and build for the future and use that to leverage additional funding or just grow and expand. So we've also seen jobs get started with this funding, or expansion of hours. It's just a lot of really exciting stuff that's happened, and we have some testimonials from our funded organizations and the people that we gave you.
Wonderful. Very good stuff. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Now you're looking for
an increase.
An increase.
$3,500.
Right, and that's going to go to strict. It's not going to go to any grants.
No, what that would do, it's going to help us with staffing here in the office, but it's also going to help. We have a plan to hire an arts education coordinator that will be working to kind of get a lot of the groups together, coordinate the activities so they're not overlapping so much that they're collaborating. And to also work with the school systems and have a running list of teaching artists in the area so they can get them opportunities to teach at different, public schools and also other opportunities as well.
I also ran into you at the Artist Forum.
Yeah.
At one of the places. It's
really, that program received some funding from this fund, and they used it all for marketing. So that, they've been really focused on asking for marketing requests.
And that's really growing.
And all of the reviews are done by volunteer review panels, so no Arts and Hudson staff or board members vote on the panel. I kind of see myself as more of an advocate on behalf of the applicants during the panel meeting, and we can lend our voice, but it's all volunteer review. And these are people with expertise in arts and cultural programming. They might work at some of the other arts organizations who have not applied. Or they are individuals with expertise in marketing or community engagement. So we have really wonderful, dedicated volunteer reviewers, and those change from year to year, so it's a new playing field every year.
How do you get those? I mean, I know you've been doing that since, maybe 2009 or 10 or something, but how do you get the volunteers for that?
Well, there's a public way to nominate. There's a form on our website where you can nominate panelists, but it's also just us being out in the field, getting out to a lot of events. For our decentralization program, we have to audit 75% of the programs that we fund. So we get out to a lot of stuff and we meet a lot of people. So that's kind of through our advocacy and our networking, meeting people that are working in arts and culture in the region so that we can connect them to each other, but also say, hey, that person would be a really great panelist because of their expertise and their background and their interest in volunteering or helping.
A lot of times people will come to us and say, we love what you're doing. Mm-hmm. How can I help? And I say, would you like to sit on a grant panel? Would that be interesting to you?
I often approach
approach people with it. This is kind of how I get people to serve, because it's a lot of work. They have to read a lot of applications and sit through a meeting, provide lunch. But they really, I pitch it as an opportunity for them to see the other side of the grant process. And a lot of panelists leave at the end of the day and say, wow, I learned so much from being on the other side. So sometimes I'll kind of invite someone who I think might benefit, or an organization that might benefit from seeing the other side and how the decisions are made.
You know, Kingston Library has benefited from Arts and Hudson's help assistance for a long time, and I'm excited to hear about the idea of an arts education coordinator, because much of what libraries do is programming. We do arts education programming at the library, and I would love to be able to turn to Linda and Lilia and say, this is what we're thinking, who else is doing it, when are they doing it, because it's always a bummer when you do something and someone right down the road is doing the same thing. So if they could come to me and say, well, they're gonna be doing it in the summer, you might wanna hold off till the fall, or maybe try a different age group, that would be huge for us.
Yeah, that's so much of our work, is kind of getting a pulse on everything that's occurring and trying to help people talk to each other and work with each other and not against each other. And that's why having an education coordinator would really be great, to have somebody with that expertise on that part of what we're doing.
Great. Anything else?
Thank you for your question.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving along, and it is the Dispute Resolution Center. Donna Ramlow.
Hi.
Hi, Donna. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me up there. Thank you for your support.
Absolutely.
I'm Donna Ramlow, Executive Director of the Dispute Resolution Center, and we're on the button. Sullivan, Ulster County, Nancy Tran is my contact finance person. So I'm here to talk about the CASA program, which is for the Home Special Advocate, which is a program of the Dispute Resolution Center. And what I'm passing around is all the different programs that the Dispute Resolution, that are known as the DRC, provides to the community. And our office is on Airport, but in Kingston. So the CASA program is, as I said, Court of Common Special Advocates, and what they do, they're volunteers, and they're assigned a case that is referred by the family court. That's the only way that we get all our cases, and we assign a volunteer. And the volunteer monitors everything that's happening with that family. They monitor the court orders. If mom has to do parenting classes, they check to make sure she's doing parenting classes and how the parenting classes are going. If it was education or neglect, we're talking to the teachers, how often, you know, are they absent. They do anything and everything to help this family achieve what they need to achieve for parents, but they also are the eyes and the ears of the court, so that the judge gets the full picture as to what's happening in this whole entire family. But they mainly advocate for permanency for the children. The difference, a caseworker does the same thing, but they may have 20 cases that they work with, so they cannot get into the depth that a CASA volunteer can do. It is volunteer. The only person we have is the coordinator, is the only staff person, and these volunteers put up a lot of time. They have to meet with the entire family at least a minimum of once a month. And then we can, and that's in person. They can check during, you know, during that month and check to see how the child's doing. But they have to, you know, physically visit them, see if they're in foster care, that they visit the foster parents and see how things are happening there. They visit the biological family to see what's happening in their home. So it's quite an endeavor that our volunteers do. And training, it's a 40-hour training. And then they have to do court watching. So it's a huge endeavor for our volunteers, and we're so appreciative of them.
And as Dave said in the past, I believe that their program actually saves the county some money.
Oh, yeah. That program probably saves us hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Now, I think last year, weren't you in transition with your location?
Yes, they had just taken over.
Yeah.
Yeah, the CASA was separated from.
Yeah.
Now they're part of the greater program here. So.
Yeah, they were a standalone agency, which for not-for-profit is extremely hard to do.
Right, it was very difficult.
Yes. So we also have CASA in Orange County, which has been there since 1984. And we have it in Sullivan County. So when New York State CASA and the board of directors asked me if I would, you know, take on CASA in Ulster as a chair. Mm-hmm. So it has been a transition, but we have staff there now, and now we're really looking for volunteers. So I would love to speak with you about maybe presenting some to people in the different libraries to get volunteers. We're really, really in need of volunteers.
Mm-hmm. How many children are you serving at this point?
It's 32 right now in Ulster County. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to be served. I just don't have the volunteers.
Right.
How many volunteers do you currently have that are actually
right now
working?
We only have 8 active volunteers.
Mm-hmm. How many? 8?
8.
8.
Yeah. And usually they're only assigned one family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they could be one child, could be 5 or 6 children. Mm-hmm. So the more volunteers we have, the more cases that we can monitor.
Well, thank you for coming back again
thank
this
you.
Year.
Thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely. It's an amazing program, and I wish you volunteers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Okay, UPAC, Bart Vaughn, Chris Silva.
Thanks. Hi. Happy to be here. Thanks for the support. Last year gave some increase, which we appreciate. We took over UPAC in 2006. And since that time, we bring about 100,000 people to both venues each year to see some of the greatest performers in the world. 20,000 of those people are children. In fact, this year we were able to bring almost every child to the city of Kingston because of an additional grant we got. And we'll be able to continue that as well as other children throughout Ulster County. And we just completed about $10 million in work at UPAC on restoration work to preserve the building forever, hopefully. And your support goes directly to our utilities. And before we did the work, our utilities were cheaper, actually, because we didn't have the air conditioning. And the heating barely worked. So now that everything works, it costs more. And so your support is critical. So thank you.
And so these monies go towards operations, not so much programming, or?
Well, we can't do our programs without utilities.
Clearly.
So it completely supports every program we do at UPAC, for sure.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions, concerns? No? Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for taking the time to come out tonight. We appreciate it. Happy you had a great season, made it through a cool summer and a warmer winter, perhaps, with the utilities. Good stuff. Well, thank you.
And,
yeah. Well, actually, let's, if we could move to new business, Susan here. We have Susan Copenhaver,
Copenhaver,
the newest director of the Ulster County Office of the Aging. Welcome.
Thank you.
And you got to hear a little bit about our programs, which the library ties in nicely with that. Yeah, absolutely. So did you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. How far back would you like
me to go? I do remember you from Always There.
Yes.
That's been
that's
a tremendous, yeah.
I'm looking
and I'm on
table.
Kiwanis because you came and spoke to us
yes.
about your little libraries and everything. So
yes.
It was really wonderful to hear all of these because in my 5.5 years working here, I live in Dutchess, but I worked for Always There until about the end of March. And I've heard Margie speak, I've heard Art Smith Hudson speak, we've had Cornell speak, and all of those particular, especially the library, but certainly the arts and maybe UPAC, and I didn't know that the Dispute Resolution Center did senior help as well.
Yeah.
All of these can help the seniors. And my background has always been working with the senior population ever since I started in healthcare administration. So I'm not going to go back too far because I might date myself. But I started at Daytop, which was a drug rehab for about 4 years, and I decided I wanted to do health administration. And I started working at a long-term home healthcare program, which don't exist anymore because the managed long-term care program sort of took that over in the last 5 years. It's complicated, but they're no longer. And that was home care for mostly seniors, and our owner owned two nursing homes. So I told him that I wanted to do something different after a while, and he offered me the position in a smaller nursing home. And I got my license, and I worked there, and then I worked for Eden Park, which used to be in Poughkeepsie, and was up in Albany, and had a relatively large system. And I really loved working in the nursing home. I know that people were always shocked to hear that, but I thought it was a wonderful place to work. And I left there, and I decided to get into practice management. So I worked for Hudson River Healthcare for about 3 years. They had practices all over Dutchess County. And I left there and I came to Always There, which most of the clientele were either elderly or disabled. We actually had quite a few people who had behavioral health issues as well, because we used to have a mental health nursing program as well. So my last 2 years were spent trying to find a partner were always there. As soon as I got there, I knew they weren't going to survive more than about 5 years. And I went through HealthQuest, I went through Golden Hill, a possibility of partnering with them. We were in leads for about a year with Westchester Medical Center and with their development of the Health Alliance Network. And that didn't work out, but they introduced me to the CEO of ArchCare. Yes. And that's been going on for 2 years, and finally the transition was pretty much complete right when I left. I wanted to stay to make sure that everybody was settled and that we had a viable business that the staff could still live with. And I wanted to make sure it was for a not-for-profit. I didn't really care whether it had a religious mission or not, but they had a very big network behind them. And we were a standalone certified and licensed agency, and that sort of transitioned into what they needed as well. They did eliminate the adult daycare, which was unfortunate, but that actually moved to Golden Hill in a smaller form, so that actually still exists. So I left there, and I've been on a severance for 6 months, and I started applying for jobs in Albany and Ulster County and around the area, but I really wanted to work for the government. And I actually did have an interview with the Department of Health, but there were other applications as well. And about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, I got a call from the county and said, do you want to come in for an interview? I didn't even think you all were doing that yet, but nope, we're doing it. So I met Pat Ryan, and I met Mark, and the rest is history. I know there were some current concerns about me living in Dutchess. I wanted to move to Ulster County about 3 years ago, but I wasn't sure what was going to happen with whichever place took us over, whether I was going to end up in Westchester, or over here, or stay in Dutchess. So I waited to find out which network we were going to belong to. So when it turned out to be ArchCare, I said, great, they're here, they're in Dutchess, they're in Ulster, maybe I could stay where I am. But it turned out I didn't have a job there. So that's when I started the serious search of what eventually led me here. So I found out 2.5 weeks ago that I was offered the job, so I got a hold of my real estate agent and said, would you help me, get this going? I have a house in the town of Poughkeepsie, and it needs work. Not a huge amount of work, but it needs work, and I need to sell it and move. But that is my plan, to move over here. I love Ulster County. I think it's a really, as you know, very collaborative place. I don't want to compare the two, but I don't see that going on in Dutchess as much as I see it here, because I was involved in so many things here. I was involved in the Kiwanis Club. I'm still there. I co-chaired two care coalitions between Dutchess and Ulster with the iPro ladies, who came in. They have a grant to do that, which is basically hospital, nursing home, home care, physician, patient transitions from care level to care level. That's still going on. I'd love to rejoin that I've been a board member of the Catskill Hudson AHEC for 15, 16 years, which is a area health education center that creates and supports and expands the opportunity for healthcare education in the Loveland County region, of which you are one. I know nobody's ever heard of it. I know. I don't know why.
The libraries have heard of it because you've supported libraries over the years with materials and education.
It's a really cool thing that we do. We actually, one of our biggest things is we sell a kit to high school sophomores if the high school is willing, and it takes them through 3 years monthly of exposing them to different healthcare occupations. So by the time they're done with their senior year, they could choose to be a healthcare worker, and we really need them. I mean, we need nurses, we need aides. You all know we need aides. That's one of my goals in the OFA is to try to help the aid situation here. And there's a lot of other, actually, it was started, not that you care, but it was started as a physician recruitment program all over the country for underserved areas in rural areas. You don't have to be rural to be underserved. So Ellenville, Steve Kelly in Ellenville had used it a few years ago to attract a few practitioners. It's a very cool program. Anyway, I was also part of the Disaster Resource and Recovery Committee in Ulster County. It was a very vibrant group that helped, with the county's help, help design sort of a response like Plan A, Plan B, Plan C in case we have some sort of horrible thing happen here, which has happened in other parts of the state. And what else have I been involved in? I wrote them down. You think I would have remembered my notes. But I've also been on the OFA board in Ulster with both Shelley and Kelly. Shelley was the last one. Kelly, I can never remember her last name. Is it McMullen? And then Ann Cardinelli was on my board at Always There. So I've been very involved in the OFA and what they're doing, both here and in Dutchess. I'm still on the Dutchess board.
Wonderful. So, I think you'll bring a lot to our senior aging population, a wealth of information.
I know some of the staff already. I've already worked with them. It's not going to be a big surprise. And I think what they do is wonderful. And I know Pat has some really aggressive ideas of what he wants to do, and I think my two main thrusts would be transportation and aid services, but I have some other ideas as well that I'd like to start for the seniors. I know there's a relationship with the VA there because they're sort of in the same building,
mm-hmm.
and trying
to
get the veterans more involved in things and address their needs as well. And all, like I said, all of these things that I heard today would be nothing but helpful. As I collect resources, you know, I have a resource directory that we can help folks with and you know, guide them to the right place. So it's like coming home. It's a government job. It's like, wow, this is, wow, it's everything I want.
Great, and so, we love Ulster, and we'd welcome you to come live in Ulster also.
Everybody wants me to live in where they live because, you know, Sagres is wonderful, Mel Hurley is wonderful, Mel Woodstock is wonderful.
We're kind of partial,
like,
though.
So there's a lot of, what?
Yeah.
So, what I really like to do is buy land and build something. But
if you like the arts, Kingston's the best place to be.
If I like the arts, I do.
Kingston's
I'm an artist,
I'm
a singer.
Just know that your Dutchess Library card works in all the
time. I got books out all the time.
You're already
out of Ulster. I walk down to get my books. Yeah, I'm pretty ensconced here, and I'm glad I'm back.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to come here and introduce yourselves to us, and I know that our paths and whatnot will be crossing again in the future.
Absolutely.
And welcome.
You.
Mm-hmm. Just call me. I don't know my email or anything.
We're going to talk a bit.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much for listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. This is great.
Yeah.
Thank
you. You're welcome.
Don't make me forget about this resolution. Well, it's ours, so I won't want you.
Do we have any resolutions?
Yeah, we do just have one. Yeah, I just wanted to get some on it.
It's the window project for Hardenburg Hall.
Yeah. Want to get through that, Dave, so we don't forget.
Yeah.
So let's do we have a motion for resolution number 387?
So moved.
Second. Approving the execution of a work order with DASNY to provide design and construction management services related to capital project number 486, window replacement, amending capital project number 486, window replacement for Jacob Hardenberg Hall, amending the capital fund budget for SUNY Ulster. Do I have a motion? We moved it, and Mary seconded it. Any discussion?
No, this is an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
Continuation of our capital program with college. So.
Yeah. Everybody's good. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved.
All right. How do we want to? We do that now, or should we wait for the rest of the?
I don't really think we should do it now, but I don't want to hold anything up. But
yeah, at the same time, well, let's go. Let's try a couple of the no-brainer ones.
Yeah, I don't really have many issues with many of them.
Right, this one with the
watershed.
The library is offering. They want like $3,000 more, which is fine. They have not asked us for more before. I almost had to force them into asking more last month.
Okay.
You've got another new side of the program.
The libraries.
Do you want to turn off the recorder for this?
No, we don't need to be
quite a minute.
So what my mindset is, I think I recommend that whatever
the ask is for that. Have a great night. Drive safe.
Do you have any problem with that?
No, I don't.
Okay, so we're all in agreement. So then we'll do that.
Want to start with
Cornell.
Let's start with Cornell.
Continue that. In other words, whatever they requested, so we got to draw up whatever that will be for the budgeting process. I'm not sure. The court appointed special advocates. They did not ask for anything more either. So because they're actually doing well with it because they got these other people that they're able to, they can keep their administrative costs down. So
I agree.
Same thing. They're not asking for anymore. And it's certainly a program out of even. UPAC is asking for the same thing. Do we have any problem with the UPAC one?
I don't, except for the fact that I thought it was going more towards programming.
We went through this last year.
Yeah, I know.
About that, and the people were concerned about. In other words, they don't have a problem with giving them the money, but
it's the concept of paying their electric bill.
Asking, yeah.
So that is, to be honest with you, that's how it feels for me. And I understand that Chris said, we can't do these programs, but clearly you kind of did do the programs before the upgrade. So that is, I'm going to pass it through here. But
well, they didn't do the, so what's happened is they were closed in the dead of summer.
Yeah.
And the dead of winter.
That was like two summers ago or so. Oh, yeah, they used to be closed because they didn't have the air conditioning.
Yeah, they would not have opened during the summer.
But then they should have generated the revenue to offset the cost of their...
Well, they actually ended up doing that, what was it, that tax buy program. It was something that went through the IDA.
Okay, I'm not familiar.
And, yeah, they went through the IDA. They got, what they did was people invested in it, and that's how they ended up upgrading everything. But these investors got tax credits.
Oh.
And it ran through the IDA. They did that, what was that, 3 years ago?
That's before me, so it had at least three.
Maybe it was before you were here.
It went through last year. I say just put it through to see how it goes this year. But, here again, I'm kind of funny with
there
it.
There may be some questions. Some people may question it. But
I also feel sometimes when people are making a request to make it a clean amount, to go towards utilities, kind of, you know what I mean? Makes it less complicated than
putting it on your own. That's what utilities. I think, in other words, it goes towards, it should change it to program support.
Mm-hmm.
Call it program support, don't call it utilities.
I know, it's a hard sell.
Yeah, I know it.
But, okay, I agree with you on that.
All right, so we'll put it in, and we're going to tell them that we're changing this to program support through,
got it.
All right, what else do we have?
So they would revise their request, right? We're good with libraries, the arts. Oh, and then you got to get back to the watershed.
Yeah. Yeah, the arts bid on it now. They wanted some, in other words, I know that a number of people last time got upset because we're paying some salary, in a sense. But having said that, it really is the only major art program in Ulster County. In other words, that's actually doing these types of things. So it's not the same as, other types of requests. In other words, you do need, people think that, oh, well, you get volunteers and everything will work. But as you may know, that in order to get volunteers, you normally have to have a paid staff to get the volunteers. Mm. In other words, people think about volunteer programs running through volunteers. Well, that's great. But in order to coordinate volunteers.
CASA.
Right.
They have a paid person that we're paying a salary there.
The only thing that I have with this situation is, I represent a rural district, and it's very difficult to introduce art out into a rural district. A lot of these things that even come close to my, it's a lot of Midtown, it's a lot of Kingston, it's a lot of Woodstock. There's a lot of art. Yeah, there's a lot of art there already, you know what I mean? So I would love to see it, and I know it's more difficult. I spoke with a young woman from the city of Kingston, some art director or something that works for the city of Kingston. She explained it to me that it's just really hard to get that out into these rural areas, but I believe in art being in our communities and the importance of it, and I would like to see more of it.
Yeah,
out
maybe
this way.
What they ought to do is, like out in Stone Ridge, some of these
kinds of artists out there.
Yeah, there are. That's exactly
that's
it.
A lot of people that live in Stone Ridge actually go into Kingston.
And I don't know why I didn't speak properly when I said this, but it's especially to the kids.
Right.
But nonetheless, it's still arts, and it's very important in our communities. And
mindset is, I would like to see the number on the grants increase.
Yeah.
Right now, we're getting out $51,000. They're all small grants. I'd like to see an increase in the grant itself.
There's been a huge growth since I first started. Like on how how they're doing it and how they're expanding.
They are reaching out. What
really
they do is they help coordinate the various groups getting together. And that's where we're paying them to do
and
that.
And isn't there some limit to who they help, like that they don't help the same people over and over?
They're not supposed to, but they're,
only certain people reapply for,
We change it. We did, at one point it was only capacity building, and then we changed it to allow them to do like a repeat for some people. But at that, the number was, I think it was 25% of the repeat or something. I don't remember what we changed it to.
The biggest Sorry's Artist Store is a repeat, but that has really grown. And it's I know I bought several things on I was going through. And somebody I introduced it to also, she went and got stuff. So it really is a good opportunity for the artists to not only show their things, but to sell to people.
But just the Kingston Midtown Arts District,
mm-hmm.
a number of the artists there are not from Kingston.
Hmm.
They're actually from
the
Stone Ridge area and various places. They actually, because they use that for
run it through.
Yeah, run stuff through there.
Okay. So what are you thinking with the $3,500 increase?
I don't have a problem with it, but I know some people will.
Okay.
I know Tracy's going to have an issue with it, and probably Lynn may have an issue with it.
Okay.
They seem to accept it last year, but they kind of were, the trouble they were feeling was that, it's going towards salary, not program. But I don't know if they're getting the concept of what volunteer, in other words, having somebody that's actually coordinating all these volunteers and coordinating all the arts, things that are going on. No, so they don't duplicate, so they don't do that. To me, that's, you know, that's,
it's vital.
And we're paying about $30,000 a year for that. Now, what would happen if we actually hired somebody in the county to do that? We'd be a hell of a lot more money.
And also, I think it was good that they're educating the people that they're helping, and so it's helping them with grant writing and, and other things. So they're really doing way more than
first glance
you think they're doing.
Right. Yeah. Not only that, but it's good. You're saying it's helping them. In other words, leverage more money.
Right.
Like, I learned how to write a grant for this. Now I can write a grant and apply to one of these private places that grant money.
And then they're no longer dependent on ours.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, I would like to see the total number increase too, though.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the, I'll go with this again this time with the, what is it, 3,500? But I want to also, at the same time, increase the, at 51 to maybe 55 or something, you know what I mean? Add 10% on that. So then it would be 8,000. For add 4 to it, in order, so it's 50,000 and 5,000, that would be 75,000, so 7,500. We're asking for 2,500 more. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
so wait, where's that sheet? There's a sheet that has last year's. Oh, you know what? I don't think they have a sheet. I don't think they have a sheet like this. I was looking for it.
Oh,
no, I'm really not feeling well. I apologize.
Oh, no. Yeah. Was, I didn't see a sheet for it, so I thought something like this.
For, yes. No, not all of them submitted those. Mid-Hudson Arts, no.
Okay, I didn't see it.
No.
All right, so where are we? I guess we're going to agree with the 2,500 they added.
For the arts?
For the arts, but I would like to actually add...
No, it was 35, wasn't it?
No, it's going from... Okay.
It's going from 87,500 to 90,000.
Yes, so that's 25.
25, yeah. Okay.
So that'd be 25, but I'd also like to see them, you know, increasing some of the grants going out. Maybe they used to actually give out...
Well, they said it was for staffing, so maybe with that money...
Right.
...utilize that towards... grants.
But I'd like to see actually some more grant money going out also. In other words, maybe another, they're at 51 they're giving out. I'd like to see at least get out 55 or something like that. Add 4 to that if we could.
Okay.
You have any, I don't know. If you guys don't want to do that, we'll just leave it like it is.
I think we're pushing it by leaving it as it is, to be honest with you.
All right.
Well, did they get an increase last year?
They got an increase, so I think they did.
Was there something? Did the executive's office take over something in the arts?
Actually, they got an increase from the executive's office. Put it in, remember, it was at first going to try to take it over.
Yeah.
And then I had the money put back into our account. You know, back into the legislative account.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, and he got very mad. He got come in fact, he called me up about it. And, yeah, because he took all the money out of the legislature.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Stuff. Yeah, we switched them all back.
I'm comfortable leaving it at the 2,500 ask.
Okay.
I just think...
I mean, I'm just thinking that I'd really like to see more money going into the grants. I mean, they haven't been increasing those numbers.
What do you mean when you say that?
In other words, right now they're giving out... $51,000 in grants.
Oh, you mean through the arts, them being able to give out
money to give out?
Okay.
Because I know they have the applicants. They have probably run three times the amount of money that they're giving out. Probably close to it. If it's not, it might not be three, but it'd be pretty close. And And we're trying to do them with capacity building, and most of these things are used for that. Like even the art, the mint, I'll use the one in Kingston, I really know that one better than some of the others. They've used the money that they got to increase their presence in social media and things like that. So in other words, you see them on social media now and people know it. So in other words, and I hear people who talk about it that never really talk about that type of thing. In other words, they know it's there.
They didn't
know about it. Yeah, the idea that people are knowing that it's there. And that's really what the arts are about, right? You bring people that you know, because I mean, how many times have you not gone to something because you really didn't know about it? And all of a sudden you find out, oh, Jesus, they've been doing this for years and I never went to it.
Well, that was this thing with the library, I think.
Yeah, the library's great. That's
so great, because you know, libraries have changed so much. Mm-hmm. It's not like...
All right, so what we'll do is we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
We'll leave it on. And the other one we...
Is the Cornell one.
Maybe we should wait on that one.
That's kind of a big deal. I would like to have a more in-depth conversation.
Yeah, we went with it the last time, but I think maybe what we should do... Yeah,
because last time they only asked for nothing. Well, they asked for extra, but then he decided.
But it wasn't, I didn't think it was for the watershed. Wasn't it for that drug opiate thing he wanted to do? They wanted to do?
Why don't we,
and I wasn't on board with the opiate thing.
Well, I'll make a motion to adjourn at this point. That way we
can. Yeah, we'll go on.
So you lost me,
you let him know.